Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited and delighted to introduce you to Natalie Dowdy, a multidimensional pianist, musician, and visionary entrepreneur who calls Virginia Scenic's Shenandoah Valley her home. As the CEO and founder of In Renaissance Music and Arts, she implements an arts integration approach to her piano studio, fostering creativity and skill development. Notably, Natalie launched the Keys to Side Hustle Success, empowering piano enthusiasts to turn their passion into profit through innovative teaching methods. Her commitment extends to the community initiatives like Music in Every Home, aiming to sponsor music education for local students. Natalie's accolades include directing the JMU Music Academy and serving as president of the Harrisonburg Music Teachers Association. With a master's degree from James Madison University and a rich performance history, she enriches lives through music and education as a multi-passionate creative. Natalie says she can't just do one thing in one way. Searching multiple perspectives, constantly learning and growing, and actively participating in life has become the foundation of her work and creative endeavors. In Renaissance is her trademark phrase to encapsulate this way of living and learning. Welcome to the show, Natalie. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dawn. I really appreciate you taking the time to hear my story, and maybe I'll have the opportunity to share something that will resonate with your audience.
I am excited that you are here as well. I am delighted to be in your presence. It was so much fun looking up all this amazing work that you have been doing and what you're doing now with the students. And I'm excited to share it with our laughers. The studio is beautiful. So
thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me in your space.
I think it's something that a lot of people, they're sort of surprised by, but the space as it is, it's a lot of natural light, it's a lot of whites, a lot of calming tones, very minimalist in approach. That was very intentionally done on my part to support the deeper learning goals of In Renaissance, so it's not a mistake or a coincidence. So that's something people comment every time they visit the studio, is just how calming the space is, how peaceful it is visually, and how comfortable it makes them feel.
Yeah, and bright too. I like the brightness of this whole place. It's wonderful. My first question for you is how you do so many things. So how do you balance all these roles as a pianist, entrepreneur, and educator? And what strategies do you employ to maintain excellence in each domain?
So we were talking just a little bit about this before the show began, because I think we both can identify as multidimensional creatives. There's probably not anything in life that we're not even a little bit interested in, right? A lot of things catch our attention. They capture our imagination, and we're just curious. And we just, you know, our eyes light up, or I feel like that little child in me is like, whoa. And that's actually how my initial experience with music began. I remember being a 4 and 5 year old, and my mother would put on these CDs for us to fall asleep to. And I'll never forget this moment of lying in bed, and I was listening at the time to a Debussy piano solo piece. And I sat there in bed and I said, how can 10 fingers make those sounds? I just couldn't get over it. Like these cascades and these flowings, and it sounded like there were 100 people playing. And so I wanted to get to that point where my 10 fingers could make those sounds. And that was the initial thing that captured my imagination, and it sort of captured my attention as a young child. And I remember being very frustrated at the very beginning that my 10 fingers didn't sound like that for a long time. But thankfully, with motivation and discipline, I got there. But I think being a multidimensional person, I think it's such a gift, because you are always searching. You're constantly expanding yourself. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult. I don't know about you, but at least for me, it is very difficult to fit one mold for a long period of time. I feel like,
yes,
you know, it's, I've lived that, I've done that, then what next? And so life will never not be interesting for me. It will never not be an adventure. It will never not be magical. And so in work, what that means is that no matter what I find myself doing, because of the energy that I bring to my work, the energy that comes from me as a person, it makes everything that I do so interesting for me, right? Mm-hmm. Now, with a lot of creativity, you need a lot of structure, right?
Absolutely.
And yes. So I think one of the most important things that I did for myself is I mapped out everything that I was, everything that I was interested in doing, and everything that I felt called to do. And I planned them out, right? And I said, okay, this is one role. This is another role, right? I can't be everything all at once to every single person. However, I can rotate through these roles and set boundaries and things like that. And so that is exactly what a hyper creative, a hyper aware person needs to do, especially if they're an artist who wants to monetize their gifts, especially if it's someone who wants to create an artistic business. You have to be very aware of all these gifts, but you have to support those gifts by giving them structure, right? Creativity mm-hmm. and structure, they're like the perfect couple, right? Many people we know are super creative, but they lack the structure to actually empower their creativity. And so once I learned that and I learned logistics, all these practical business things, it actually has enhanced and empowered my creativity in ways that just flying off of the creativity wouldn't necessarily have brought about for me. So staying very structured, creating a lot of boundaries, saying no, that mm-hmm. would be a very top strategy. My time is important. My energy is valuable. And I think of that as an investment, right? So I'm very careful in how I invest my time and not to double book myself in that way. Another thing is I adore travel. I think to be in touch with the learning process of what your students, your audience is going through, you have to be in their shoes. Otherwise, you'll never be able to speak their same language. I think as a professional, especially one who has been in the world for so long, these things can turn very stale very quickly. And so keeping it fresh, having that almost like you have your hand on the pulse of your audience mm-hmm. is really what makes everything worthwhile. And then what you have to share becomes relevant to them, meaningful to them. And I really believe that in the arts, being a performer, being a teacher, being an educator, they all have to do with sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They mm-hmm. all have to do with sharing, expressing something, whether it's a point of view or a feeling or a story. And if you don't have anything to share, that's, you're in trouble, mm-hmm. right? And so for me, having something to share means that I need to be an active participant in life. I need to be learning. I need to feel what it's like to be a beginner. And I'm sitting here like, how can I help myself? What am I missing, right? Mm-hmm. Because then I can identify with my clients and I can identify with my audience and helping them with their pain points, because I can say, I totally understand what you're going through, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not 40 or 50 years in the past. It's like right now I'm doing this, you know, mm-hmm. to put me in a similar situation. And I think that keeps everything very fresh. It keeps my attitude fairly humble, yeah. you know, and experiencing life, I read voraciously. I am also very invested in my own personal life. So I'm not sort of bogged down by business. Yeah. You know, I think that's really yeah. important. We're all human beings, not human doings. And I think especially when you are so invested in work, it's easy for that to be off balance and that's all you do. And then the blessing becomes the burden and then it leads to burnout. So I'm very aware of all these things. And so in keeping my mindset fresh in doing things that I love, travel, cooking, other events that just make me happy, I'm actually protecting my gifts and I'm protecting my business and keeping things fresh and keeping that artistic mind at the forefront of what I do.
That's really impressive. And I think you brought up a really great point. Well, several great points, but one of them was for the artists or the creatives, that can be a challenging part of becoming successful is integrating the structure piece of putting a foundation down for a successful business as a creative. And you mentioned some tools. Has there been a couple of tools that you use for your structure that's really helped you and impacted you that you could share with us, have made a difference?
So you're going to laugh because I'm the most technologically minimalist person that you know. I'm still very old school. I have many friends who, you know, outsource everything to an app or all these things. But just in my daily workflow, I've streamlined the entire process where I'm not having to go through 10 different steps, right? It's all very streamlined in what I do day to day. At least in my work, it's very seasonal where I work around, and I'm talking about my studio piano lessons in Renaissance. It's very aligned with the school system, right? So I plan a semester in advance, even a year in advance. And that holistic way of looking at it from the beginning, like everything is planned at the beginning of the semester. So all the logistical work happens before the semester begins. And I'm planning out my energy and if there's any special events, like I already know where they fall and I know how to navigate around those things. The summertime is really great because that's my time to think of new ideas of implementation for fall, spring. So yeah, I think streamlining things where we're not having to get, what is that called?
Monkey brain or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or it's like the shiny new thing, right? Oh, and I think right. At the beginning, it's like, oh, what app can help me with this, you know, and this app. And honestly, if it's just pen and paper and planning it out so you don't have to do that logistical thinking in the middle of creating, those are two different processes. You know, you can't mix those up. Yeah. Creating and admin, they're very separate, separate things and separate seasons. So I think, again, planning ahead and doing batch work, right, where I'm not... The way I operate my day isn't how the business kicks in, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I do on a normal day is not, you know, working in your business isn't the same as operating your business, right?
That's
those
right.
are two
That's
different,
right.
two different it, yeah. roles. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. The planning ahead, that's key. And batching it. You mean kind of like I do with podcast episodes, I'll record several, send
yes.
it to the editor. And
yes.
Then, okay.
Or it's just like if you're working on editing, you're going to do just make an editing day.
Right.
You know, you're not going to do all the little things mm-hmm. that take place in one podcast, you know, although you're publishing it that way, but it doesn't operate that way. At least not in my business.
Right. And we can batch different things
yeah,
and make it work.
Exactly.
Depending on what your industry is
exactly.
and all of that. Okay. In what ways do you believe personally that music and arts education can transcend traditional academic boundaries and contribute to personal growth and development?
I think one of the gifts of the arts is the awareness that it brings to you. I think in our educational system, it's a lot of memorize this and regurgitate. Here's the perfect answer, memorize it. You'll get 100 on your test. But everything is scripted, right? You learn the scripts, you implement the scripts, and you're supposed to have a successful life. When life is wild, there are many instances that you're going to have an unscripted moment. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when people graduate college and they don't get a job the next week, that's a period of life that's unscripted and they're having a breakdown and, oh, something is wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very unfortunate that our current educational system has that built in almost, right? Where we give them information, they memorize it, and then we grade them and we evaluate them on how well they regurgitate that information. But really, that regurgitation of information has nothing to do with true understanding. It has nothing to do with functionality in life. And so one thing I appreciate about the arts is that you develop such an awareness of yourself, of your learning habits, your likes, your dislikes very quickly. I think there are very rare moments where anything is very ambiguous, right? You're mm-hmm. hitting your limits much more than in any other places. You're also recognizing the most beautiful things, you know, that maybe in life you haven't quite gotten to, you know, these beautiful sounds, you can access a beautiful world or a beautiful sound fairly quickly, right? Mm-hmm. You can also encounter a challenge or you hit a limit very quickly. So I think the level of self-awareness is unfounded. And it's also a great microcosm of life because let's say that at least for music, talking about the word improvisation, I can make anyone sweat just by saying that word, especially an adult, right? Who has had some formal music lessons, right? They hear the word improvisation and already the stress response is activated. Why? because I mentioned something that goes off script. It's unscripted, right? You mm-hmm. create it, right? You're responsible for that. And I think that that's how a lot of 18-year-olds feel when they graduate high school. And it's like, okay, well, now I have college, right? And okay, now I'm safe. I'm in a four-year program where people tell me what to do. But after that, oh my goodness, you know? And I think that by delaying this investment, by delaying this engagement, this is what I think, this critical thinking, this independence of thought, by delaying that, we're not helping our society. We're not helping our young adults at mm-hmm. all, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think in the arts, we can start these conversations much sooner, right? What does this sound like to you? And not telling them the answer, right? Mm-hmm. Why don't we make something that sounds like rain? And so you're involving their thought and their self-concept right away from the beginning. And you can build out someone who is comfortable with change, adaptability, mm-hmm. mental flexibility, right? And someone who is confident that even though they don't know the correct answer, they're confident in their ability to be able to figure something out. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the power of the arts, not to mention the psychological benefits, emotional benefits, neurological benefits. I mean, yeah, nothing compares to the arts and just the tangibleness, mm-hmm. right? Because we can all invest in them however we want to, right? Mm-hmm. If we want to be a concert pianist, you know, we can put in that effort, right? To be that. If we just want to learn guitar chords to be able to play with family, we can do that. So I think it's something for everyone in the arts. And that's kind of nice because it doesn't have to mean the same thing to every person.
Mm. This is a good time to ask a question. Do you think people are not talented at arts at all? Are there people not talented? Can everyone learn something in the arts?
What is talent? You know, right. I've been studying so much about neuroscience and the neuroplasticity that we all have to adapt, to learn. There's no excuse for us not trying something out and being good at it. Honestly, I think that when you grow up with something, right, the neural pathways are built from a very young age, right? So mm-hmm. working and using those neural pathways, like with an instrument, you know, your mom or dad played, right? That exposure sort of prepped you to be able to be like, well, let's see what happens when I do this and this, right? And then the neural pathways just continue to build. And you could call that talent, right? But someone who has never been in a musical environment, they have to make the neural networks before using them, right? And that struggle is just like, I can't do this, right? Immediate shutdown, mm-hmm. right? Because they haven't had time, right? And that support. So yeah, these are really interesting questions, but so much of learning is fighting through our own self-talk and our inhibitions. Mm. And so many adults even, you see the self-talk, right? And it was something that someone said to them, you'll never be able to do this, right? Those things are coded and documented, and then it affects them their whole lives. And so I love teaching beginner adults because so much of what we're doing is we're redoing those neural networks. We're building new ones, right? Things that are positive, things that are supportive. And the more you say these things out loud, like, I can do this, I can play my right hand, you know, and these things, the learning is a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And the neural pathways just are built more easily. So yeah, I'm a big fan of learning more about the mind. And if you don't believe you can, you're right. Mm-hmm. If you believe you can, you're also right. So you get to decide that. Not a teacher from 40 years ago, not a parent who maybe was saying something in a moment mm-hmm. of frustration, right? So you get to decide.
Yeah. So you're in the camp that it's possible they can learn an art. Then after that, perhaps beyond skill level, there's
no limit. The only limit is you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know? Yeah. And I actually was an undergrad with someone who, I think when he was in our undergraduate program, he was 36. He just picked up the piano 2 years before, just found that he just enjoyed it so much. And he said, I'm going to school for it. Boom. He grew the skill sets, right? Because yeah. of what he was telling himself, right? And how excited he was, and just he found the support that he needed, and he did. He got his undergraduate degree, and I think he pursued a master's degree after that. So really, I think that we have to work on our attitudes and how we see ourselves because that is really the compass of how our life will go. So we have to be very, very careful about what we say is possible because our mind, our body believes what we actually say. And especially on the inside, you know, these internal critics, internal dialogues.
The internal voices, mm-hmm. the conference. conference of voices sometimes have too much to say.
They just need to be guided out a little bit.
Yes, I agree with you. Perhaps this next question will provide some insight as to why you believe so strongly in this. Can you share with us the inspiration behind founding In Renaissance Music and Arts and your mission in integrating arts with education?
Sure. So for a long time after school, right, a lot of people, as an artist, you become your brand. Right. Mm-hmm. People see you. They're like, oh, she gives piano lessons. Right. And automatically, even from the standpoint of a performer, you are your work. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think as an artist, it's very difficult to achieve that healthy detachment, that separation that, yes, I am the caregiver. I am the producer of this, but my work is not me. I am much more than my work. And so I had been operating just under my name. You know, I give piano lessons, and I realized that I needed to build a platform outside of me because I'm much more than music. Mm-hmm. I am many things. And music is just a part of that. And the things that I do in my work, the things that I do in music is just a part of who I am, but it doesn't capture the full me. Right? And it's my business, right? It's not supposed to. But at that moment, I was sort of struggling with the boundaries of traditional music teaching as I had known it, as I had grown up in it, and I had been trained in it to teach it. And I was really struggling with its relevancy, effectiveness, and also the enjoyment. I don't think that traditional music lessons, the mindset that how I currently understand it and believe it to be, and not everyone holds the same opinion, so I'm just giving you my opinion, but I don't believe that it is up to date with modern sensibilities, especially ones that reflect the need to enjoy, the need to slow down, the need to be human and have a human experience, right? That mm-hmm. doesn't just prioritize the analytical and, oh, this sounds good, so you can play this for so-and-so, right? It kind of goes a little deeper and like, how do you feel about this? Let's talk mm-hmm. about your spatial awareness, right? How do you feel in your body? Are you embodied? And so I was thinking about what I wanted to create. I needed a platform, and I wanted a platform that was big enough to hold my dreams, right? I'm ever growing. I'm ever constantly changing. And I know that music is not big enough to hold my ideas. The world of music as it is now, it's not big enough. Mm-hmm. And so I was searching for a name, and the whole process took about 3 years. It was a lot of soul searching, like the platform, because as I'm growing, it needs to be flexible in the name, but also it needs to inspire, but I don't want it grounded in music. Like so many people were like, oh, you could call it This Music Studio. And I'm like, I want it to be inspirational. I want it to, like, when I say it, I want it to mean something, not just, oh, this is my studio, right? Everyone knows that already. And so I kept coming back to the idea of the Renaissance, which is one of my favorite time periods in history, because nothing was lesser or greater. Everything was connected. And we think of Leonardo da Vinci, right? Mm-hmm. I went to one of his exhibits in DC last summer, and they had 12 pages of his sketchbooks on the wall. And it was amazing. And you know what I loved about it the most?
What?
His eraser marks. You could see how many ideas he had had on the one page, and to preserve the paper, there was like so much eraser, and you could see the layers of let's try this, no, let's try this, right? And I love that about him, and I love many other things, but he just wasn't an inventor, right? He dabbled in so many things, and he was able to bring the best of all of those things, and that's how all of these amazing inventions, that this line of thinking, how it happened, mm-hmm. right? And I honestly think it was his mindset of embracing, you know, the best of all these worlds, seeing how they inform each other, because I don't think anything is separate, which I think is a mistake of the educational system, where this is this, right?
Right.
And
now,
this is
yeah.
this. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the more dialogue and cross-cultural, cross-disciplinarian workshops we have, the more that we find these insights, right? Where mm-hmm. we have these discoveries and things like that. And so it's not a new concept, right? This cross-disciplinary, these arts integration. And it brought out an amazing period, right? In the Western civilization history as we know it, it brought about an amazing time, right? For business, for science, for faith, all of these things. And so why don't we have that same model now? Mm-hmm. If it brought about so much growth, so much progress, so much enlightenment, why have we gone to a completely different model?
Very specialized.
Isolated, right? Isolated, yeah. Disconnected. People
a good feel, part of it, yeah.
Yeah, they feel like they're living fragmented lives. And I think one part of having a renaissance is it was able to keep me in alignment, right? Because I don't just care about the world of music, right? I love so many other things. And so with this platform, I'm able to make these small pivots, right? And explore whatever I want or whatever I feel like would benefit the studio. And in the future, it may not just be piano or music centered. It could be something much bigger that, you know, I have in my head, and it can do that. I think in Renaissance has the capability of growing 70, 80 years, even beyond me, you know, as a business and as a brand and as an attitude to life and learning. So that's how I see it.
I'm wondering personally, what is your experience in this multifaceted way of learning? Did you have some personal experience, Montessori school or?
Well, I was homeschooled growing up.
Okay.
And so learning is what you make it.
Okay.
And I just remember one of the things that I struggled most with was something that had a very simple answer, and that was a very direct approach. I am much better at taking the long back way, right?
Yeah.
That by going through the journey, it makes a lot more sense. And so I am a divergent thinker. Convergent thinking, linear thinking is actually very difficult for me. And it takes a lot more energy, which is counterintuitive, right? You think as a teacher, right? You want the easiest, the most efficient way. But sometimes, you know, the things that really make a mark on your soul, the things that make sense to you, right? Capitalizing on those strengths is the best way. Right. But it makes a lot of sense why I struggled with the things that I did. But the struggling has made me a much more compassionate teacher. It's made me a lot more aware, and I can help more people because I struggled more than others did, I think. So it's actually been a bit of a superpower in hindsight, not so much when I was going through it. But yeah, I think for other people who, even if the answer is right on the page and it's staring back at them and they experience this frustration, like it's right on the page, like, why didn't I see that? I think it's okay to say, you know what, I'm not a linear thinker. Can you guide me through this, you know, or explain it to me a different way? And I think that the more approaches that we have, the more different learning attitudes, the more people who we can actually help. Because I think when we limit people to one model and one approach of learning, you're going to have people who shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They tap out. They say, going to college is not for me. Learning is not for me, right? Because they've identified learning as with that person over a math textbook. And they're like, never again, right? And so they de-invest in the learning process, right? When living is learning. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly learning, right? Every single day.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
So, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about this, but I think the worst thing we can do as educators is say, here is the model. Here's the framework, fit it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's much better to say, what kind of individual am I working with? What do I have in my resource closet mentally to be able to support this individual?
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. So that is some of your passion, I think, or the impetus behind it is your own personal experience mm-hmm. and the way that you learn.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see and understand, hey, we don't have to look at it this one way.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. It was also like people are learning a classical piece, but what does it have to do with their real lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And why should someone pick piano lessons when they could be doing other beautiful things with their lives, right? I grew mm-hmm. up doing everything a young child could be doing, right? Sports, activities, arts, youth group activities. And so what is going to make someone carve out and invest in you, right, mm-hmm. as a teacher? And so pulling in things from normal life, right? How can this integrate with, you know, family, right? How does this integrate with school? How does this integrate with whatever you're passionate about? And that is where things become more relevant. They become a lot more meaningful. And when you make that connection with any student, no matter what age, then the investment is there. They care, they're passionate, they're motivated. You don't have to beg them to practice, right? Because you have found the hook or what they care about.
Mm-hmm.
And you lead with that as long as it takes, right? And in that moment, you get to see the real them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the one who's worried about being perfect, not the student who's like, you know, oh my gosh, if I don't play a wrong the perfect note. You know, I'm a failure, right? You get to avoid all of that. And I try to do that as much as possible. If a student is on pins and needles, I'm not doing my job correctly. And so by sort of moving away all of those expectations, assumptions that traditional mindsets have given to us, kind of pushing those aside and getting to the bottom of what is my actual purpose here? What is my actual calling?
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been a good basis of in Renaissance.
Mm. And you're able to tell right away, I guess, after so much time with students, if they're more audio or more visual or maybe both.
I feel like a psychologist a lot of the time. Right. In my training, we have, you know, we study learning personalities, the motivators, like Clifton Strength Test, 16 mm-hmm. personalities. I'm very passionate about all those things. And a lot of people aren't because they consider them labels, but they're just tools, right? Mm-hmm. Tools that you can use, tools that maybe aren't for you. But understanding what motivates someone is so important because that's the difference between their success or their failure, or not failure, but just they're not going to be so successful, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like a psychologist a lot of the time, because you're so focused on that person in front of you, that individual, right? And in any given moment, what they are thinking, what they're going through is at the top of my mind, mm-hmm. right? And prioritizing their well-being, prioritizing, you know, what is going to help them and supporting them in that, that's my job.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. Your studio emphasizes flexible learning and experimentation. We're talking about that. Could you share some antidotes or experiences that highlight the effectiveness of this approach?
Sure. So in Renaissance, I call it, it's a flexible way of learning music, of relating to the individual. And again, I think it might be a little bit initially of a reaction against traditional mindsets where, you know, in this studio, this is what we do. And, you know, it's my way or the highway kind of option. And I find that when the student is at the center of the learning, you're not going to have as much tension, right? You're working with them. You're working naturally with their strengths and you're riding that wave, you know, to whatever else is on the agenda to learn. And so learning music, there's not one way to do it. And I think that in the 80s, as traditional music teachers, they wanted to seem as professionals, right? They wanted to be taken seriously. And so they got into the world of evaluation, right? And showing progress and how do we measure this significantly? And a lot of that was done by read-write learning, right? A lot of priority placed on sight reading, right? Being able to analyze and interpret the visual symbols, your fluency in that, and also just the playing part of it. But that thinking left behind a lot of learners, like mm-hmm. playing by ear, playing intuitively, right? Being able to just react to sounds without knowing what you're playing. And those things are a lot harder to measure, right? But it doesn't make them any less of music. It might be even more of an art rather than the read, right? But that's a whole nother conversation. And so what I was noticing as I became a business is that there were so many learners that I felt were sidelined. Mm. And I encountered a lot of people who they said they relayed to me prior experiences and they said, well, so-and-so has said that my child is no good or they'll never be successful. And I just can't tell you how much that grinds my gears. But I feel like a therapy teacher. Right? Mm. Or I'm like, what do you care about? And I had one student who wanted to learn Disney and they didn't play their classical song. And their teacher said, you're dismissed from the studio.
Mm.
Just really inflexible. This is my way. And I think a lot of that is discomfort, right? Where I think, you know, I've been trained, I have a master's degree. And so much of what I do now is beyond my training. My training I'm very grateful for. And it taught me so much. Way more than I'll ever be able to wrap my head around. But so much of what I do is unscripted, right? And so when a student comes in, if they say, I'm learning this song off of YouTube, I've never heard it before, right? I need to listen to it with them. I need to figure it out orally what's going on, maybe write out the music, maybe write them out an arrangement, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe if it comes to that, I need to learn more about them. And I'm not necessarily a teacher in that moment, right? And so that can be for a lot of people who like perfectly controlled learning environments. I am the teacher, you are the student, do what I want you to do and nothing more, nothing less. That can be an uncomfy place to be, mm-hmm. right? And so just depending on your personality type and your awareness of yourself, I'm someone who I am very comfortable in a place like that. I'm actually really curious, you know, like, what is this student going to love? You know, how can I help them? Because each one is a unique puzzle, mm-hmm. right? And no two are ever the same. And so,
yeah.
Yeah, I think the flexibility has helped me to support people in saying I am gifted, which is huge. After mm-hmm. so many people saying, you're not this, you're not that, finding one person to say, I believe in you, you are special, you are gifted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all have a moment where we remember someone telling that to us at some point, and that meant the world, right? So I'm happy in that I've been able to empower so many people who felt like they were sidelined or not good enough, right? And we talk a lot about self-talk, how we talk to ourselves, what we think. That's a big part of being in Renaissance and empowering those people to learn and to play. And you know, the funny thing is we eventually do, quote unquote, if you wanted to say this, catch up to where everyone else, you know, should be or whatever. I don't even like that line of thinking. But if you can just capture that student strength and follow it, you're going to achieve much more than putting them on this regime, no matter how amazing or well thought out or thorough the regime is. It's not going to work. And so by following each student's current, as you will, we've been able to do so much, and the improvisation and the joy that they have in the experience, because, you know, learning an instrument isn't just a skill, it's an experience, right? It's a very fragile place to be, right? Mm-hmm. I read once that when a student is presented with new material, it's like encountering a tiger in the wild, right? The cortisol is sparked, you know, their stress level, the amygdala, you know, they're on red alert, right? They may not be showing it, but inside, that's exactly what's going on. And so I'm able to bring the blue, which is kind of like bring the calming agents. Where's the logic? How are you feeling, right? And make it less scary. And so just being able to transform people's mindsets about learning, especially parents watching their children, right? And how we really just suspend all these expectations. There's so much that can be done. And so I appreciate the flexibility, because saying be this one way and only this one way, and if you're not this one way, you're not good enough or you're not talented.
Yeah. You don't buy that at all.
Is that education?
Right.
Are you doing them a service?
Right.
We'll leave it at a question mark right there.
Okay. So it's an experience coming here to learn music, to learn piano specifically. And you know what else is an experience that I absolutely enjoy? That's eating popcorn.
Right here.
Eating this absurdly flavorful popcorn from our sponsor, Preposterous.
What's the flavor?
It's on the back.
Cheddar Ranch, Cheddar Bay, Spiked Cheddar. They must have mm-hmm. a mix.
There are lots of flavors at Preposterous. Salty and sweet. You can satisfy any desire. Their factory is 100% nut-free, and their kernels are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. Did you know that?
I did not. See, wow. I'm learning every single day.
Every single day. And you need to know this. Laffers, you get a 15% discount. Just use promo code LAUGH15 today when you visit their website at prepopsterous.com. That's P-R-E. Yep, that's right. It's PrePopsterous.com. And you can go right there, use that code LAUGH15. And that way you can buy some when you join me on next week's episode and munch down. Back to you, Natalie. All right. My next question for you. You offer a free consultation period for people that are checking in Renaissance out. Now, how do you utilize this time to assess the potential clients and tailor your approach to their specific needs?
Sure. So again, when you meet someone, do we need to give you and your popcorn another moment?
We need so many moments, me and this popcorn.
So basically what I'm looking for is, am I the right fit for you? Mm-hmm. I think if someone is coming in and they know what they want, they know what their goals are, and if they lean more traditional, and there's nothing wrong with it, I'm not here to put down traditional learning. I'm just saying that traditional learning doesn't fit everyone. Mm-hmm. And so if you are looking for someone who is more of a traditional teacher offering traditional opportunities, I will refer you out because that's something that you can identify pretty quickly. But if you're someone who is interested in discovering some gifts, if you're interested in exploration, right? Having that open mindset, that's something that is a hallmark of In Renaissance clients and the families who are interested in investing, you know, with a studio, investing in my work with their child or with them as an adult, because it's really a way of supporting a certain framework and looking at the world, right? It's really hidden leadership skills. It's about being comfortable with discomfort, right? And so it's really life lessons disguised as music lessons. And so I hear of so many wonderful things that the students are doing where they're transferring the things that we learn into a completely different domain. And I love that. I mean, a lot of preteens who come to me and they're in that, you know, they're just getting aware of how society looks at them, you know, really aware of, you know, their appearance or just all of these things. It's really great to help them build in themselves a confident attitude, right? And it doesn't have to be overblown, but just like this humble confidence, like I know who I am, I have a voice, I'm going to use it, you know? And if I don't know the right answer in school, you know what? I'll figure it out and that's okay. And so just developing these attitudes for a positive and productive life experience, that's really the work here at In Renaissance. And so some people are not necessarily open to that, you know, and it might be a timing thing. It might be a season of life. But that's where the priority and the preference is. You know, we'll learn a little bit of music on the way. But really building out the person, right? Helping them, supporting themselves, in the learning process comes first.
Mm. So you truly, this isn't just about taking piano lessons. This is more of a multi-prong approach to bringing the best of the artist inside that person.
Exactly.
Out.
Exactly.
Because we're not just one thing.
No.
We're multifaceted.
No. And in society, like, you know, I have struggled with, you know, I can't fit one mold. I've tried and I was very unhappy. And it wasn't until I said, you know what? Life doesn't have to be this way. You know, there's room for me, all of me. And just being in alignment with myself has made life so much better, you know, as an artist, but also as a person. And I think of so many people who, you know, did what their parents wanted them to. They got the degree, you know, whatever that expectation was. And now they're like, okay, it's time for me. What do I want to do now? And that's why, you know, retired adults are some of my most favorite clients because they've done what they were supposed to all 50, 60 years of it, which is a really long time. Mm-hmm. It's a really long time to do what someone else wants you to do. And now they're like, now I'm going to do something for me. I'm like, can we get to this place just a little earlier? Right? Mm-hmm. It's a big imbalance in society. I really, really believe that. And so, yeah, I'm just so amazed by the courage. And I can't do life any other way, you know? But just people who, you know, caregivers, or they've done what, you know, what someone else wanted them to and put someone else before them, you know, I think that's all well and good. But I think there comes a certain place in life where you're like, you know what, this is my life, you know, and I don't want to live in regret, right? I wanted to take piano as a kid. I had one lesson. The teacher told me I was no good. I've lived with that 60 years, you know. Are you going to let it haunt you until the end? Or are you going to say, you know what, maybe it was the teacher. Maybe it was the approach. Maybe I can find someone who's going to support me in learning Billy Joel, Elton John, whatever it is that sparks your soul, yeah, right? Because we have these holes in the market from traditional, you know, piano teachers where people want to play by ear, you know, they want to play without reading music, you know, and nothing is good or bad, right? There are pros and cons to anything, but I think the bottom line is we need to hit success, right? And if that's what you want to do, that's what we're going to do first. That's going to be our one and only goal. When you hit that, which you will, then we can start to explore and see, well, what other things could I do? You know, so it's a big adventure, but it's capitalizing on your strengths and not focusing on what you're bad at, right? Because we could do that till the cows come home.
Yeah.
So
you teach people to play by ear?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So improvisation, making up songs, making up sounds. There's a lot that we do off the page. I mean, music isn't confined to a page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music is our birthright. It's inside of us. You know, it's everywhere. So, that's a big revelation to a lot of people.
Wow. Yeah, I thought that all music teachers did the teaching of the, I think you called it an arrangement, right? That's what is
yeah,
it?
No, traditional. Yeah. But again, it's how comfortable are you in an unscripted situation? You know, that's why I love travel so much. I just got back from Morocco. I went to Egypt last spring break, and that helps me to work being in a new space, right? Mm-hmm. I have no comforts other than, you know, I am the constant equation in each of those scenarios, but I kind of get to evaluate myself and just see, you know, how's my self-talk, right? Mm-hmm. How am I doing? How am I functioning, right? And so I think travel is a great training ground for exploring these new situations. I also have a language tutor in learning, you know, a foreign language. And there's some moments where I hit a mental wall and I have to coach myself out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so being in unscripted learning environments, I mean, that's life in general, you know? But yeah, like I said, there are a lot of, holes in the market, if you will, right? Thinking about teaching piano as a business, there's a lot of holes in the market. And there's so many people who achieve success without traditional music learning. I mean, Elvis Presley, Taylor Swift, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. They took what they wanted that helped them and they, you know, kept going. They didn't let their lack of learning of formal training stop them, you know, and now they're household names. So
that's very inspirational. And if you're watching the video version of this and I'm wiping my mouth, I'm just making sure I don't have any more pre-pop stress popcorn all over my face. Oh my goodness. All right. I have another question for you. A few more, actually. What criteria do you consider when building relationships with clients for your studio? And how do you ensure a mutually beneficial partnership?
So, as a business provider, I am here to support personal growth and empower the individual through music, right? Mm-hmm. So my commitment is to the person first and to their growth first, which is very different than I think, you know, other people might say, well, I'm going to prioritize the music first, right? And that's just a choice that I have made, and different people operate in different ways that works for them best. So a lot of it has to do with just their mindset, right? If I feel that they are very fixed mindset where they want something very specific that is not in the role of personal growth or not in that place of mental flexibility or adaptability, I will refer them to someone who is a better fit for them to help them with their goals. Again, there is no better goals or less than goals, right? It's someone's personal goal, their personal dream. And it's not for me to sit here and say, well, that dream isn't good or not good, right? It's your dream, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to refer them to someone who can help them with their dream. Now, if someone's dream is something that I understand and I feel like I can help them with it and I do see a path right in my head, then, you know, we can try, we can work together. Some things don't always pan out, right? Or sometimes they need me for just a season, right? And those are all natural and healthy life things, you know? So I don't know if it's necessarily a criteria, but it definitely is a mindset. I think if someone is fixed mindset, where I'm very much growth mindset, those things are going to really grate against each other. And it's not going to be beneficial for either of us.
I like how you focus on a mindset and a growth mindset. And I noticed on your website, you give book recommendations. Do you give book recommendations to your students? Do you have a library? You lend books? What do you do
here? I read voraciously. Yeah. I really do. And so it's what's appropriate, right? Students read a lot of fiction, fairy tales, you know, and I think those things where you're dreaming of new worlds, encountering all these things, right? There's so many parallels that I can draw out from what they're currently engaged with. Adults can be interesting because, you know, they have their own way of doing things. Some people who are interested in learning more about neuroscience, like I have some, you know, neuroscience books that I recommend. Some are like biomechanical movements at the piano. You know, there's books for that. So it all just depends. I'm not a big fan of giving out content when there's no place for it, right? We have to build out a context for learning. And it's like, you know, why don't we do calculus in third grade? Well, they just don't have the context and the place built out for that yet. And so I think that music, right, it can be so detailed, it can be so information heavy. And I think students can drown in that. And it's very easy to do, just talk, 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 right? Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to do something. And not talk. It's very difficult to create that space initially, but the more you do it,
easier it gets.
Exactly. Right. So it all depends, right? I don't have one answer for any one specific thing. It really just depends on the person's interest, how they're engaging. Are they more of a read-write? You know, do they like to kind of process on their own? Do they like to talk about it more, right? So it all depends.
It all depends. All right. Well, I wanted to ask, can you elaborate on your approach then on piano instruction as outlined, speaking of adults, in piano courses for adults? How do you cater to the different levels in that course?
Sure. So piano courses for adults was something that I created in the time of COVID. It was a time when I needed to create content for my adult learners, but we weren't even at the point where we could go out and visit yet, even with the masks. And so it became a weekly project where I was sort of, how would I teach piano to a beginning person from all these different points of view, right? Because you need to have something for, you know, the traditional learners, but then what if someone loves improvisation, right? What is the easiest, simplest way of approaching for a beginner? And so that is where piano courses for adults came out of. And I had a cohort that I was teaching at the time, right? And I was able to incorporate their feedback, but it starts from the very, very beginning, right? But the most important thing about it is you realize successes very quickly. We don't have to wait forever until you can play a piece that sounds great. In fact, we get to playing right from the lesson number one, from the beginner class. And there are six levels. So if someone takes the whole program, which it's six levels of 10 video lessons each, they average about 45 minutes each lesson. It's like a video tutorial where I talk to you as if we were having lesson together. All the e-materials are there and I give you aerial shots, some accompanying all these things. But it will take a beginner up until about intermediate lessons where they're going to need a private teacher. So it's very thorough, it's very slow, and it's very supportive. I think a lot of adults, they don't want to be seen as a beginner, right? Especially when they've retired or they're professional in their domain. Starting over as a beginner can be very difficult, especially because we're so cognizant of how we look to other people. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like so many adults are struggling at home to learn. And so my program is, don't struggle at home alone, right? You can learn at home with someone else's help, right? Mm-hmm. And feel like someone is there supporting you, you know, on your side. Yeah.
That's great. You teach the kiddos too, right?
So I teach everyone.
All right. What is your youngest student?
So the youngest student that I've had is about 5 years old, but okay. It's not an age. It's what is their exposure, right? Have they done a lot of motor skills? How's their maturity level? Because the piano is a very specialized instrument. Mm-hmm. And if we haven't done the big motor movements, clapping, drawing, you know, all these things, getting to a specialized instrument so quickly is going to be very difficult. And it's just honoring their life development. If they haven't developed to that point yet, learning the instrument is not going to be a good thing at that time. It's better to wait until their development, you know, as a human being. It's better to wait until that peak time of development, right? Mm-hmm. You can't rush development and you can't work against it. I think it will just make the child very unhappy, and it's just, you're not going to achieve flow with the student.
Do you require your students to have a piano at home to be a student here
require a keyboard versus a piano or just an instrument?
Instrument, yeah. What is the minimum requirement for someone? Say somebody's brand new, they may not have a piano in their home, and that might be a barrier them. But is it a barrier?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of work that you can do without a piano. Eventually, like my skill set and my skill level is in the piano. So I think that you could do, you know, depending on what the student needs, you know, 5-6 weeks of without an instrument, right? But there are rentals, you know, there are these things that one can get, you know, to trial it out, which I think is a good thing. You know, a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to invest in an instrument before it's time. And I understand that. So
maybe they could get a keyboard first and then start with that before they move up to more expensive options when it comes to pianos.
Yep. Okay. I'm definitely, I'm a realist in that. And, you know, we can experiment and we can try all these things.
You are very deeply invested in the music education around here. What changes or improvements would you like to see in the broader educational landscape to better support arts programs and initiatives?
I think that more dialogue between the arts and between our general education is really important to see where the arts can support learning. But also I think it's important for people inside of the arts to have their pulse on their audience. You know, what are kids going through, you know, the effects of social media, you know, just knowing what kids are going through really helps me, right? You think of everything that quote unquote can go wrong. What battle are you going to pick, right? If a student is suffering bullying at school, are you really going to get after them about not having correct rhythm, right? And so really just being more involved in my community, kind of having my finger more on the pulse. I choose my battles very carefully. And if it's the person or the skill, I'm going to put the person first, right? Because I think we can do a lot more with encouragement, support, and positive and productive experiences than we do with, you know, you didn't do this or you're such a bad student. That's not beneficial to anyone. It may make you feel good, right? Just showing your, you know, you didn't do what I asked you to, but students are living real lives and, you know, they're going through a lot. And so just keeping that in mind, you know, I think is really, really important.
Taking the holistic view and approach to teaching overall. Well, that's really great. You have a lot to offer us. So lastly, as we wrap up here, how best can the Laughers stay up to date with you in the studio?
Sure.
The best way.
So we're on Instagram. So the Instagram handle for the studio is InRen Music Arts. I have my own podcast called Natalie in Renaissance, and I have about a podcast every week. I've been on a little bit of a travel sabbatical, but I talk about my experiences, you know, as a business owner, as a creative, and so you can keep in touch there. I also have a corresponding Instagram at Natalie in Renaissance, so I think those are the best ways to stay in touch with me and where the studio is going and every project that the studio is working on.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Natalie. This has been super delightful chatting with you on all things in Renaissance. Natalie in Renaissance. And I value so much your time, your wisdom, your insights, what you're doing, your work in the arts and music education, all the things that you're doing for our community with your positive approach to living and learning. So thank you so much again for coming on the show and making what you do available to all ages. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dawn. Laughers, we'll see you later.
Yes, and Laughers, to learn more about In Renaissance and what In Renaissance can do for you, visit their website at inrenmusicarts.com. That's INREN musicarts.com. Go there today. And also don't forget that discount on Prepopsterous using promo code LAUGH15 at prepopsterous.com. That way you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.